We have the great good fortune of having our sister Allison preach God's word this morning. And so before she gets started, let's raise her in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love each one of us with a powerful and abiding love. And Lord, we thank you that you have shown your sister Allison that love in many ways and many times, powerfully. And Father, we thank you that you have spoken to her a specific word that you want shared with us this morning. Father, we just pray that the words of Allison's mouth are your words, and they come out in a powerful way, Lord, and that anything that she may have thought to speak that isn't of you, Lord, that would just fall away, Father, and that you might impact your people through your sister Allison, through your daughter Allison. We thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This one. Well, Bill asked the elders probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, mentioned he was going to be away, and asked if anybody wanted to volunteer. And he actually did that in November, and I felt a nudge from the Holy Spirit, but I didn't respond. I thought, is that really a nudge from the Spirit? And Nancy volunteered, and I thought, I'm off the hook. And then when he announced it about 3 weeks ago, I felt a strong nudge that the Lord wanted me to speak on the topic of authority, the authority that we have as believers. And so I signed up to do that. Just to give you a little background, in the last couple years, God has really given me a passion for this topic. And it started when we had the Dunamis course on spiritual warfare back in 2009. Tom Wilcox was the pastor that was teaching that course, and he told of speaking with a woman who'd come to faith in his church who had previously been a practicing witch. And he mentioned that when she joined the church, he made an appointment with her and really wanted to learn more about the witchcraft. And what she said is when she first became a witch, she could see over certain people a huge power aura. And she was frightened by it, and she thought, those people I really need to stay away from and, you know, avoid them at all cost. And then experienced witches said, don't worry about them. They're Christians. They have no idea they have that power. They're harmless. You can do anything you want to them. They won't bother you. And I'll tell you, that really caught my attention. And much of it because I thought I didn't know have a power aura over me, and I could probably be much like them. And I thought, I really want to understand this better. And so I embarked on some time of reading some books and studying scripture. So I'd like to share what I've learned in that. There are 4 books that have been very helpful, and I want to just mention those up front because I've used some of the material from them. And they are The Believer's Authority by Kenneth Hagin, I Give You Authority by Charles Craft, Authority Encounter by Chuck Davis, and Authority in Prayer by Dutch Sheets. And I'll just refer to the authors after that. I'm certainly not an expert. I just want to say that up front. I'm still learning, and I am by no means an expert. While there's much, much, much to be said on this topic, way more than could be handled in one sermon, I'm going to touch on 3 areas. The first one is the biblical basis for our authority, why it's important to exercise our authority, and how to exercise our authority. And in the how to exercise our authority, I do not mean that as a formula, just some tips and some testimony. I want to first start with authority and what is authority. Power and authority are related. Power is the strength or force needed to rule. Authority is the right to do so. It's power that's delegated. In the context of governing, they are governmental twins and need to operate together. Authority without power to enforce it is meaningless. And power exercised without the authority to use it is seizure, and it's morally wrong. A good illustration of power and authority was used in several books, and it's an illustration of a policeman directing traffic. A large truck is driving down a hill towards a busy intersection. A traffic officer is in the middle of the intersection, and he raises his white-gloved hand, motioning to stop. The truck brakes and comes to a halt. Why? The truck clearly has more power than the officer. He could just run over the officer. He stops because of authority. It's not the physical power of the officer that changes the circumstances. It's the authority of the badge that he wears and the government sovereignty, governmental sovereignty that ensures the authority behind the badge. The policeman knows the authority that's invested in him, and he knows that the government is behind him. Dutch Sheets quotes, where God and Satan are concerned, the issue has never been about power. God is all-powerful and the creator of everything. When Satan rebelled, there was a flash of lightning, and he fell from heaven in an instant. There was no battle, no sweat, or exertion from God, just a release of his power and his glory. It is always and only a question of authority. The Bible tells us in Genesis 1 that when God created man in his image, he delegated authority to Adam, and Eve to rule over the earth and have dominion over it. Man was to have stewardship over the earth and everything in it. However, when Adam and Eve sinned, they disobeyed God and they submitted to Satan. They forfeited their delegated authority to Satan, who gained great governmental control over all the earth. God didn't give Satan the authority. Man did. Our ability to govern our world was dealt a crippling blow. Note that God's authority was never affected. And I kind of thought of the analogy of you have a neighbor that you really trust, and you give a key to them to your house, and unbeknownst to you, they get tempted and they give the key to somebody else. And that's the kind of thing that happened. Satan boasted of this when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, when he took him to a mountain and showed him the world's kingdoms and said, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship me, it shall be yours. And that's in Luke 4, 6 and 7. When Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, that all changed. Ephesians 1, verse 20 to 23 reads, God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. Jesus is over everything. He took back the authority that Satan had usurped from Adam and Eve to rule over the earth. Satan was defeated and no longer has any governing authority or legal standing to rule, although he does have power. His power didn't change as a result of the fall, nor as a result of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Although, as mentioned earlier, his power is no match to God's power. So where are we in this relationship to Jesus? Ephesians 2:6 says, And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ. He raised us together with Christ. Look at where we're sitting. We're sitting with Christ in the heavenly realms, in the right hand of the Father, next to Jesus. We are far above all rule and authority, far above all power and dominion, far above all principalities and over every title given. We have the same authority as Jesus that he's delegated to us. It's not a result of faith that we have that. It's not for certain people. It's where all believers are positioned. We have this authority as a result of our position with Christ. We received it when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. This is confirmed when Jesus says to his disciples in Luke 10:19, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Note that we have authority over all the power of the enemy, not some of it, but all of it, and that he can't harm us when we use the authority. This authority, again, is given to all believers. It isn't something that's earned. And it's not something acquired by faith. When I say faith, I mean having a certain amount of faith. It is acquired by believing in Jesus. All the authority that was given to Christ belongs to us through him, and he's delegated it to us. He is the head of the church. We are the body. to help him carrying, we are to help him carry out his work upon the earth. The head needs a body to do whatever it wants to get done. It can't operate by itself. The authority delegated to us is based on God's word. It's not based on how we feel or anything that we need to earn. So why is it important for us to exercise our authority in Christ? Although Satan is defeated and has no authority to rule, he's still around and still has power. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." And Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Although he was defeated, he did not give up any ground that he gained, not willingly. And as the body of Christ, we not only have authority, but we also have the inheritance of Christ, all the promises of the Bible as heirs of Christ. We need to take back all that the devil has stolen and claim the promises that God has given us as believers in Christ. And it occurred to me that this is really similar to the Israelites needing to take possession of the promised land in the Old Testament, the promised land that God had given them. Although he gave it to them, he hadn't cleared it all out. They had to fight to claim the land. The power of God was behind them, so if they fought, they were going to win. But they had to fight with their eyes on the Lord. And I look at that, and I think that's the analogy of where we are today. We have the promise, we have the authority, but we need to take it, and we need to fight. We're in a continual battle. The devil's work could be described in a broad way as having a two-pronged thrust. One thrust is to make sure that people that don't know the Lord don't ever know the Lord. So they blind them and deceive them, and he deceives them, to make sure that they never come to the Lord as best as he can. And then the second thrust is to take those that are already believers and minimize them in their effectiveness. He attacks them to try to keep them completely off track to what God is calling them to do, and make so that they have no fruit produced. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he does that not only at an individual level, but he also attacks attacks strategically against organizations, cities, regions, nations, against cultures, shifting cultures. I see that that's what's happened in America over the years. He's just very quietly shifted mindsets so that our culture has changed drastically. Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of all nations, to heal the sick and cast out demons. To do that, we must understand and use the authority we have in Christ, because the devil's going to do everything in his power to oppose us and make us our lives as miserable as he can. This point was driven home to me by a story that I read in Kenneth Hagin's book. He was an anointed preacher who was miraculously healed by God near death as a child and spent his life seeking God and teaching and writing. Jesus appeared to Kenneth in a vision and spoke to him, teaching him about demons and the devil for about an hour and a half. Towards the end of the vision, as Jesus was talking, an evil spirit that looked like a monkey ran between them and spread a dark cloud and began making noises, yakety, 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 yak. And Kenneth could see Jesus' mouth still talking, but he couldn't hear a word he was saying, and he was frantic because he was thinking, this is really important teaching. And he was thinking, Jesus, do something. But he didn't. And Jesus kept talking. And after a few moments, very frustrated and desperate, he yelled, "In the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, I command you to stop." The demon immediately dropped to the floor, and the black cloud disappeared. The demon was whimpering and looked terrified. Kenneth commanded it to leave, and it ran off. Kenneth was wondering why Jesus hadn't done anything about it. Knowing his thoughts, Jesus said, "If you hadn't done anything about it, I couldn't have." Kenneth said, "No, no, no. You're Jesus. You mean you wouldn't have?" And Jesus said, "No, I couldn't have." And Kenneth went back and forth three or four times saying, "Wait a minute, wait a minute. You mean wouldn't have?" And Jesus said, "No, I couldn't have." And then he went on to say, and I quote, "Son, not one single time in the New Testament is the church ever told to pray that God the Father or Jesus would do anything against the devil. In fact, to do so is a waste of your time. The believer is told to do something about the devil. The reason is because you have the authority to do it. The church is not to pray to God the Father about the devil. The church is to exercise the authority that belongs to it. The New Testament tells believers themselves to do something about the devil. The least member of the body of Christ has just as much power over the devil as anyone else. And unless believers do something about the devil, nothing will be done in a lot of areas, unquote. We've seen we have authority, the authority of Christ as believers, and the need to use it. So what does it look like to use authority? I'm going to focus on some ways of taking authority in our personal lives and over our families, although there are many, many, many more ways and areas. The subject is extremely broad, so I am really not even probably doing the tip of an iceberg. And as I put this part together, as I read the books, I really wanted to find out, what do you say? And not that it's a formula, but when people just say, well, I took authority, it's like, well, what did you say when you took authority? So I've included some testimony, but also some suggestions. And there are many ways to take authority. There is no formula. So these are just for your thinking, as you think about how might you take authority. One of the most important areas in our personal lives over which to exercise authority is our minds, our thought life. I believe this is the number one way that Satan attacks. He plants lies, guilt, negative thoughts, doubt, fear, anxiety, accusations, temptations, you name it. And according to Charles Kraft, he believes, and I do believe this too, that the number one way he attacks in the minds is about our self-image, and especially as children. And if he catches us as children and we believe the lies, it really affects our life. And I've given you my testimony of the lie that I believed about the fact that I had no redeeming qualities and was unlovable. And that's an example. So we're told to take authority. We're told to take authority and take captive every thought to be judged by the word of God. When we find we have a continual problem with thought patterns that don't align with Scripture, we need to bind the enemy and speak out loud scriptures that address the truth to that situation. And I say we need to. This is one way you can do it. And the notion of speaking out loud the truth really speaks to me because I'm having this message coming at me every way. I mean, it's like it's come at me probably 15 times that I need to do this in certain areas in my life, that I need to speak the word out loud. And I think part of it is the thought patterns, if you let them go, take you down the path that you start to believe the lie or the untruth. So it's really important to do that. And I'm starting to try to practice this more. Another important way to exercise our spiritual authority is in the area of protection and covering over ourselves and our families. According to Scripture, God built into creation certain authority rules for humans. Husbands have authority over wives. Parents have authority over children. Masters over slaves. And leaders over followers. Men who are believers have a key responsibility, and I want to speak to everybody here, to be the spiritual gatekeepers for their families. They have an authoritative, protective role to play over their immediate family. And in households where the husbands are not believers, the women are the gatekeepers. Chuck Davis believes this is one of the most important aspects of exercising your authority, and one he takes very seriously for himself as the gatekeeper for his family. I asked him specifically, what does he say to take that authority? What does he speak? And he said that he usually says something like this: in Jesus' name, I bind all plans of the enemy to attack any members of my family, and I loose the plans and desires of God for my family. I call upon God for an umbrella of protection over my family and pray that they would have the heart to come under it. And he explained that he uses the umbrella as it's like the mighty fortress that we just sang the song on, where when we run into it, we're safe. And he calls upon God as our protector. He said our calling upon God as our protector isn't a passive exercise saying we hide or we run, but more that it's calling down a divine shield around us. His family has a choice whether to come under the protection or not, which is why he prays that they'll have the heart to do so. He said if he begins to sense problems in a specific area in his family, in himself or anything going on, he will immediately take authority, even if he's not sure if it's the enemy. He said he stopped trying to discern if it is the enemy. He just takes authority and says, if it is the enemy, I bind you. An example of the principle of, and the other thing that Chuck mentioned to me that he does is he always does kind of a twofold. He binds the enemy, and then he looses whatever is appropriate for the area from heaven or from God. So if it's financial issues, he binds the any spirit that's attacking finances, and he speaks to loose prosperity or, you know, whatever the appropriate would be. An example of the principle of gatekeeping is a testimony of a woman named Natalie, and this was included in Charles Kraft's book. I'm going to share an excerpt from it because of time. Natalie said, I suffered for more than 2 years from one throat infection after another. There wasn't a month that I didn't have throat pain and get hoarse to the point where I couldn't even speak. Since I'm on the worship team at church, this was a real problem. Many people prayed for me, but the problem continued. I went twice to a throat specialist, but he couldn't find anything wrong other than an infection. Then at a seminar by Dr. Kraft, I learned that husbands can use their authority to protect their wives. So I went home and asked my husband, Andy, if he'd start taking authority but in the way that Dr. Kraft suggested. He said something like, I, Andy, Natalie's husband, take authority in Jesus' name to forbid that any evil spirits attack my wife. I take all such attacks on myself. From that day on, she was free from the throat infections and pain. However, for the next 2 weeks, Andy was attacked with the same thing. He probably could have spared himself if he'd refused by allowing the enemy to attack him. And I personally would suggest I don't think you have to say that. I think you can just take authority and forbid the attacks. I don't think you have to say you have to come through me. Because we do have authority. And as spiritual heads of the household, you have authority. So we should exercise our authority. The authority that I mentioned for covering can also be extended to those we have influence over or areas where we have natural authority, like if we're a manager at work or we manage a group of people, we lead a group of people, or the people that we have relationships with. So it can extend beyond your immediate family, but it's people that you have relationships with and who you have influence over. We should also exercise our authority over our homes. We can anoint our homes with oil and declare that we belong to Jesus Christ and that our home is covered by the blood of Jesus. We can command all evil spirits to leave and release the peace of God into our homes. I've done that in my home. I don't know if there was anything spiritual there before. But I've had several people that have come into my home that are Christians said, wow, your home is really peaceful. That also could be because I don't have any children. But but I think there's a spiritual element of it, too. Tom Wilcox used a prayer when he opened Dunamis course that I've used many times since. He said something to the effect of, I command all demons that do not have a right to be here to leave in the name of Jesus. I realize I skipped something. Let me go back. Similarly, we can exercise authority over our workplace, church buildings, or spaces where we have authority, such as teachers over a classroom or a leader over that's leading a group over the meeting space that they're going to meet in. In those cases, you probably wouldn't anoint the space. And Tom Wilcox used this in Dunamis, as I mentioned, and he commanded, he said, I command all demons that do not have, he was in the sanctuary here, that do not have a right to be here, to leave in the name of Jesus. Any demons that have a right to be here, I bind you. You may not function. You may not hear, see, or speak. You may not communicate with any other spirits while here. And then he explained that when someone has come into agreement with a lie, I think some of us already know this, but with a lie that the enemy's planted or somebody's sinning, such as someone that's in an adulterous relationship, there's a door that's been opened giving the enemy the right to come into that person. In those situations where a demon has a right to be in someone, they won't respond to a command to leave because the door's open. They have a right to be there. But by binding them and speaking that they cannot function anyway, that cleanses the room for the meeting to take place with whatever purpose it had. I read of a teacher who was a believer who was having an extremely difficult time with her class. The kids were very unruly and just not paying attention when she was trying to teach. She just couldn't bring the class to order no matter how hard she tried. She learned of exercising her authority and began doing that every morning before class. And the situation turned around almost completely. Some of the other ways that we can exercise our authority are to break curses or vows and the power that they created, to cancel power over generational issues that have been passed down, like alcoholism or depression or other things that might be generational, to bless others, to heal the sick physically and emotionally, to cast out demons, to speak the word affirming the truth. And this is the way that Jesus dealt with temptation in the desert. He said, "It is written," and he spoke the truth. And to proclaim the truth of what is rightfully ours. This is also speaking the truth, but in the sense of claiming the promises. When attacked by the enemy, or suspect that it's an enemy, to exert our authority, there are a lot of different ways we can do it, and it depends on what the attack is. But some ways are that we can simply say the name Jesus. Some people that have experienced a terror in the night, where an enemy spirit comes on them, where they almost can't breathe, if they say Jesus, it goes. We can also say, "In the name of Jesus, if this is the enemy, I command you to stop right now." That's Charles Kraft's favorite. He says he uses that most of the time. We can also say, "I belong to Jesus and I'm under the blood of Christ." I learned this morning that Lisa had read an article from somebody that had been a Satanist and is now a believer. And evidently, the blood of Christ is one of the things they absolutely cannot stand to hear. So that probably is a very effective way to do it. We can also speak out loud scriptures that declare the truth regarding that situation. And as an example in this, I struggled putting this together this week, and I just felt like my mind was muddled. I didn't have anxiety or fear or anything, but I just had a hard time. And so I kept trying to declare the truth. I have the mind of Christ. I have the power of a sound mind. And I would say at times it helped, and there were definitely times when I did it, and for a period of time it worked. But the enemy didn't give up because he kept working on me. But I got it done. So the other thing we can do is we can join with other believers praying together, which really gives extra authority. So one of the things that Jesus says is when two or more are gathered in prayer, well, the more that you have, we join in authority if we are all in agreement. And we need to be in agreement with the will of God. While we all have the same potential for authority, we've all been delegated the same authority, there are factors that affect our level of authority that we operate at. If we have unconfessed sin in our lives, it definitely diminishes our authority. If our understanding of God and His Word is weak, we will not be as aware of His provisions or of His ways or His truth. Therefore, that limits our authority. And if we don't fully understand or have confidence in our authority, the enemy can detect that and is not likely to obey. So in conclusion, while I've tried to give some examples of how to take authority, there is no formula or pattern to follow. Other than, very important, is the authority we have is in the name of Jesus Christ. And it is always in that name. We have no authority on our own. And it's the power of God that's behind it. It's not our power. It's the power of God that's behind it. So what is most important is that we truly understand our authority, we believe it, and we use it. And we use it under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, speaking whatever words we choose or as the Holy Spirit leads. For Jesus, when he exercised his authority, the results were instant. That's often not the case with us. Sometimes results are instant. Sometimes they're gradual. Sometimes they take weeks or days or months to see. And sometimes we don't see results. We shouldn't give up. We need to keep at it and persevere, because we need to remember we're in a battle. We're in a war. And the victory is won. The battle might not be over yet, but the victory is won. What I've covered today is a tip of the iceberg. There's much, much more to this topic, huge amount more to this topic. My hope is that we will be alert and really watching for the enemy that's on the prowl and looking for someone to devour. And that we will take authority over ourselves, our families, and situations around us, destroying the works of the enemy and taking back what is rightfully ours. I felt this morning prompted by the Holy Spirit to have us all take authority in the area of protection and covering for ourselves and our families. And while some people are the spiritual head of their household and some aren't, I'd like us all to speak this. Before we do, I want you to close your eyes just for a moment and imagine yourself as an ambassador for Christ with the absolutely full authority that he has given you, that he's given us. You are operating on his behalf. Now open your eyes and let's speak this together. In Jesus' name, I take the authority that is rightfully mine. I bind all plans of the enemy to attack any members of my family, including me, and I lose the plans and desires of God for my family. I call upon God for an umbrella of protection for my family and pray that they would take and come into it. I would especially encourage men and women who are the spiritual heads of their household to take up the role of gatekeeper seriously, exercising your spiritual authority over your families daily. This really does make a difference. And as Chuck Davis said, let's take our position and move out in authority. Let's take back what the enemy has stolen. So, if you have any... thank you. I really do hope that we will move out in our authority. One of the quotes Charles Kraft said is that unfortunately, and this is like the power aura, unfortunately said the vast majority of Christians have no idea they have this authority and the church hasn't preached on it. And I think that's another way the enemy is attacked. Over the last, I don't know when this began, but in all my church years, it's not been a subject that's been talked about. It's now coming forward, I sense. But as a result, we have a whole body, most of the body, that doesn't understand this, and therefore we're run over by the enemy left and right in many cases. And I just pray and hope that we will really move out and make a difference. There's a little bit of fear in it to start with, but we have the authority, and God's word says when we take authority, the enemy cannot harm us. And there are times when we have to proclaim that. You may not harm me. You may not. And one of the things we do in healing prayer is when we finish a prayer, we pray a cleansing prayer that says, you may not touch us. We are covered by the blood of Christ. And there can be no retaliation. And there isn't. So anyway, I would just encourage everybody. I would be glad to answer any questions in the hallway in coffee hour. Or if anybody would like prayer or help or support in taking authority, I would be glad to help in that area too. And I'm sure some of the other prayer teams would too. Thank you.